We're in Genesis chapter number 7 today as we begin, and we are going to get the actual flood started in our lesson today. We already talked about the dimensions of the ark, and I believe it was even bigger than what a lot of our Bibles indicate, because they use the smaller 18-inch cubit, and I think we should be using the larger 20.7-inch cubit. I know that many of the commentaries give some idea of how much cubic space there is. I think I saw once that there was enough room for 66 railroad cars. Well, if that was accurate with the smaller cubit, imagine how many more railway car loads they could get into the ark. But the last thing that we were dealing with is that they're putting all of the vegetative material, the vegetation, the seeds, the fruit, the things that are going to be eaten during the year that they will spend in the ark. And this is, again, a reminder that all the animals that will be on the ark and all the humans that are in the ark are vegetarian. They are part of the original design that God had in this world. It's not until after the flood that animal protein and animal fat is added to the diet. And we'll talk a little bit more about that once we get there. Without any further ado, let's dive in at Genesis 7:1. Then he who is said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." So the ark has been built. We don't know how long it took, because, as I mentioned, the first century Jews and the early Christians took the mention of the 120 years as a reference to the eventual shortening of the human lifespan. They didn't consider it to be the time that was God's patience waiting while the ark was built. So however long it took, it is now finished, and it is now time for the only humans that want to be saved, apparently, to go into the ark itself. And it is basically four couples. Noah, Mrs. Noah, and then the three sons that are still at home. They're apparently right around 100 years of age. And their, shall we say, fiancés, their betrothed, because they are not yet raising their own families. So apparently marriage either has just taken place recently or has not yet taken place just yet. But the reason is because Noah is righteous in this generation. Now, we talked about that wording in another passage earlier, that some people think that that has something to do with him not being part of the contaminated genome, which I think would have been the case if that's what it was talking about. But it's also got something to do with the morality of this person in this really sinful generation. Verse 2. Now, it says in our English Standard Version, and in most of the other English versions, "Take with you seven pairs of all clean animals, the male and his mate, and a pair of the animals that is not clean, the male and his mate." And this is where we need to do some thinking about what's intended here. When we later, in Moses' writings, talk about clean and unclean animals, the point of the distinction is animals that you can eat, those would be the clean ones, and animals you can't eat, those would be the unclean ones. as we've already said. Animals were not on the menu before the flood. So that can't be the point of the designation here. It is my opinion, strongly held, what we're seeing here is the word clean representing sacrificial animal and unclean representing non-sacrificial animal. And so the clean animals would be much more limited before the flood than they will be after. Because we basically have the sheep kind, the goat kind, I think might go together with that one, and then the bovine kind, the cattle kind. Those are sacrificial animals. And then we have the several types of birds. We usually think of the doves in particular, the pigeons. They're all actually part of the same kind. That these would be the only sacrificial animals that we would be aware of. And it is not surprising then that you would want to take on board more of those animals so that those genetic lines can build up faster because they will be needed in this new relationship that when sin comes, you want to offer the sacrifice on behalf of your sin. Seven pairs, so 14, is what many of the commentators are saying that is what's represented here. I'm going to disagree, respectfully, but I'm going to disagree nonetheless. And part of my reason for doing so is because in the first century, we have a Jewish writer, a conservative religious Jewish writer named Josephus, who goes back over the Jewish history. He's basically reading from the book of Genesis, but he's also laying it out in a understandable pattern for non-Jews to help them understand. And so when he gets to this idea of what animals went on board the ark, he basically has in mind seven total clean animals, meaning three pair and a spare. So three couples and one extra non-affiliated animal of that sacrificial kind, which is interesting because what do we have humankind going on board? We have three pairs, and then we have a non-breeding pair. Apparently, Noah and Mrs. Noah seem to be done raising their children. And so three pairs of humans, because they are the epitome of God's creation, so they need to be ready to start repopulating the earth. And then we're going to have three pairs of clean animals, sacrificial grade, plus a spare, which we'll find out that's the sacrifice animal, immediately after they leave the ark. So it's not needed for breeding, it's needed for sacrifice. So why do our English Bibles go with seven pairs? Well, in the Hebrew text, which in the original text of Hebrew, they didn't use vowel pointing. They didn't use vowels at all. It was just consonants. And so in the original text, it looks like the number seven written out in text, 7-7. And in the Greek, which was made in the 3rd century BC, written by Jewish people that understood Hebrew but also understood Greek, but this is the oldest book of them all, they just simply put what they read into Greek terminology, 7-7. So it's not seven sevens, that'd be 49, and that's clearly not what is intended here. It's just 7-7. Unless you start digging and you find out that there is another word in Hebrew that is spelled exactly the same way as the word seven. And it means complete or full. And that clears it all up as far as I'm concerned. That basically, God says, take with you a full seven of all clean animals, male and his mate. And so we've got three pair and a spare. Okay, I went into a lot of that, but I wanted to explain why I go with seven animals total rather than seven pairs of these clean animals. And then the unclean, the non-sacrificial grade, they're just going to have one pair, a male and his mate. That's all you need in order to start the breeding process over. And as I've already mentioned too, God is the one that selected these animals and sent them to Noah and his family to put them into the ark. So he picked animal kinds that were at the very deepest central portion of that kind genetic group. And so they will be just exactly like, or as close as you can get in a fallen world, to the original created kind. And then we'll be able to have the remaking of all the different varieties inside of that kind after the ark. Now, verse number 3, and seven pairs, or complete seven, of the flyers of the heavens, these of course are the clean ones, also male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and everything that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground. So we now know that God is speaking to Noah 7 days before the flood begins. We also know that the first portion of the flood will be active rain. We'll also have the fountains of the great deep blowing up. That will all take place for the first 40 days. That's the beginning of this cleaning cycle of planet Earth. And God is wiping out every air-breathing, land-dwelling animal, as well as all the people. And it's because of sin. And apparently, it even goes deeper than that in some of the things we were checking out. The angelic rebel angels have been monkeying around with the gene code of the humans. And I believe, and others do as well, that they may have been monkeying around with some of the animal genetic codes as well and caused all sorts of strange aberrations of that went against what God originally intended. And this may actually explain why some of the animals in the fossil record seem to be a deviation from some of the peace and stability that God originally designed. Now, verse number 5 is kind of a repeat of what we've already seen at the end of chapter 6, and Noah did all that he who is had commanded him. So Noah is very obedient. Noah is exercising faith. And that's why his actions are listed in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, that hero's hall of faith. And then verse 6 tells us that Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came upon the earth. Now, it wasn't necessarily his birthday, but he was in his 600th year when the flood comes. And that kind of helps us in our chronology because we've been looking at some of the numbers given in the earlier chapters of the book of Genesis relating to the different generations. Now, when I bring this up, I have to remind you that the Masoretic text, which is the Hebrew text that many of our English Bibles prefer to use here in the Old Testament, is strangely enough a younger text than the Septuagint, which is in Greek. I always prefer in these early chapters the numbers out of the Septuagint, because I think they represent an older Hebrew text than the Masoretic text does. And when you take the years from creation in the Masoretic text, then the flood happens only 1656 years after creation, while in the Greek Septuagint text, it takes place 2,262 years after creation. If we use the information about Abraham as an anchor point and going backwards in some of the genealogical lists that have dates to them for his family, then in the Masoretic text, the flood only happens around 2524 BC. That seems awfully late to me. Whereas in the Alexandrian Septuagint, the flood takes place around 3308 BC. And guess what? Most of the records for ancient civilizations start popping around 3000 BC. And so that seems to match much better. But enough of that sort of numbers. Let's again go back to our text and see how Noah, who has entered that phase of his life where he's not having any more active kids come into his life. He and his wife apparently have been past that for about 100 years now. But he is ready now to begin the loading process of the ark. And by doing so, as the book of Hebrews says, he condemned the world, or basically he agreed with God's intention to condemn the world and start fresh. So Genesis chapter 7, verse 7. Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Of clean animals and of animals that were not clean, and of birds, and of everything that creeps on the ground. Two by two, male and female, went into the ark with Noah as God had commanded Noah. Now, we already know that two by two, male and female, is the base number for the vast majority of the animal kinds. But for the clean, as the term is used here, the sacrificial animals, there are seven. Verse 10, and after 7 days, the waters of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened. I'm going to throw some more things at you that have to do with just variations in the text. The Septuagint has some different dates assigned here. It's still roughly 1 year that the flood goes on, but the Septuagint seems to indicate that the date for the start of the flood was on the 27th day of the second month. And that brings me to another thing that I want to point out. And that is, when Moses took the people out of Egypt at God's direction, book of Exodus, God said that this month that you are departing is now going to be your first month. So God gave them a brand new calendar system that started in the spring. Previous to that, the ancient calendar started in the fall. And it seems to be related to the agricultural cycle, starts with prepping the ground and planting it, starting in the fall. And my guess is, and this is the guess of others, is that the dates we have here in Genesis are by the new calendar system. It is giving the second month. Excuse me, I've got to get my thoughts straight here again, because I'm confusing myself even. We're going to start the flood in the fall, and it will finish in the fall as well. So the calendar that we're using in this part of the book of Genesis is the old calendar. And then that means we have to think of it from the more new Jewish calendar. I'm not going to give you all those dates. I'm going to just basically say this. The flood starts in the fall. It starts, and the first part of it, the very active part of it, if you want to think of it as like a washing machine cycle, the agitating part of the cycle is going to be the first 40 days and 40 nights. And we have water falling from the sky. That's apparently never happened before. The original creation seemed to be in some sort of homeostasis, some sort of stability, so that the changes in temperature from morning to evening and evening to morning, that's all that it took to cause a mist to form or dew to form on flat surfaces, that this is what kept the moisture going to the plants, that and the rivers that would have existed. So no precipitation. There is a perfect balance in the atmosphere of all that atmospheric moisture. But something happens on the first day of the flood, which collapses that stability and causes a cascading effect, that all that moisture that is up there in the waters above the heavens, that is in the firmament, up in the upper atmosphere region, all of that suddenly condenses and falls as precipitation. And it does it for 40 days. If you want all the logistical details of this from a scientific viewpoint, I would encourage you to, again, go to answersingenesis.org or go to icr.org, which is the Institute for Creation Research. They have a lot of technical papers dealing with the mechanisms of the flood and how it's very possible that what happens is the supercontinent suddenly has seismic activity that breaks it into different plates, tectonic plates, and along these fracture lines, you have a whole bunch of material explode upward in great big steam explosions of water coming from below ground up above ground, and it goes way up high into the atmosphere, carrying lots of debris particles with it. And of course, that is one of the mechanisms that causes rain, is that water vapor condenses around small bits of dust or small bits of soil that are up there in the clouds. And once it gets a certain weight of condensation around that, it falls. It precipitates. And so their idea is that we've got the fountains of the great deep bursting forth, and they're throwing things upward, which then starts compromising the vapor canopy above, and it starts precipitating and falling. And so we basically have a huge amount of water from below and above, now covering the supercontinent as it's fractured and starting to move apart. And remember that this supercontinent, in its beginning form, did not have super high mountains. Super high mountains come from the plates of the continents crashing against each other and pushing upward or pushing downward. That's how the trenches get created in the ocean and how the mountain ranges get pushed up around the Pacific Ridge Line, because it seems as if the biggest fracture line in the supercontinent came between North and South America and the Old World, and pushing those continents around the globe till their plates crash into one another and start making those big high mountains at the other side. And so the water that we're going to see coming down and coming up will end up covering everything and wiping everyone out. Verse 13, on that very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark, they and every beast according to its kind, and all the livestock according to their kinds, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to their kind, every bird according to its kind, every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah, two by two of all flesh, in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female, all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and he who is shut him in. So 7 days before the catastrophe starts, they begin unloading. And once everyone and everything is in there, God himself shuts the door and then begins the judgment. Come back tomorrow, and we'll continue in the Word.